most admirable chasers you could possibly wish to see.
Good afternoon and welcome to this week's episode of the Race Hour podcast in association with gambling.com, kindly sponsored by BetUK. We're very much at the tail end of the National Hunt season now, but there are a handful of stings left in the proverbial tail of what's been, I think it's fair to say, a truncated enough season. And to ferry us safely towards the conclusion of the jumps into the warm and loving embrace of the flat season, I am joined, as ever, by Dermot Nolan. How are things, Dermot?
All good, Dermot. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm okay. Licking my wounds after roughing up Ainsley Festival, but we're getting back on the wagon. I'm also joined by French racing expert, I should say, at Top Tipster, Gary Conley. How are you, Gary?
How's it going, mate? All good. Good to be back.
Yeah, for sure. We're almost there. And last on the running order, but certainly not least, we have Kian Kirby, who is no doubt swimming in riches on the back of a successful Cheltenham and Entry Festival. And our tricks to you, Kian. Yeah, I always send this again to brilliant weekends, Bunton. Certainly brilliant weekends racing anyway, even if there might not be too many betting opportunities in the past, but there should be this weekend. Before we do dig into the weekend's racing, will Willie Mullins win the UK Trainers Championship, yes or no? Dermot, I'm going to go to you first.
I can see it happening, yeah, unfortunately. I think it's an amazing achievement.
Unfortunately.
I think it's an amazing achievement to be in the running this far. A few years ago, he wasn't that far away as well. But it's not good, in my opinion, for the overall picture of racing that an Irish trainer can be, you know, with 20-odd winners or whatever else is ahead. And then you heard Dan Skelton during the week, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. Dan Skelton said that the only way he sees Willie Mullins not winning it is if the ferries go on strike. So it's definitely not easy to see. It's just not good that he can fire a B team over here. And he does look like he's going to take this, because we'll talk about it later, but that Mike Dermott he has in the Scottish Grand National, he'll go very close. And overall, it's really interesting, great narrative at the end of the season. But if he wins this, it's one final nail in the coffin of racing. And how does anyone come back from this, really?
Yeah, I can see your point. I'd probably be more inclined to take the positives in terms of what an amazing feat, which, to be fair, you've pointed out as well. And I would hope it might be the kick up the rear end that the British racing probably needs to try and close the gap on the great man. Kian, what are your thoughts on the situation?
Yeah, it just shows you how bad UK racing is. I mean, Willie Mullins only has 19 winners, and he's probably going to win the trainers. So I'm just looking here. He's as short as 1-5 in places to win at his top price, 1-2. But just in recent weeks, obviously, with Stayman winning the Champion Hurdle, Gallop in the Gold Cup, and then IMAX, Mr. Grand National, he's shot up the ranks. He obviously didn't have intentions of winning at the start of the season, but it looks like he's going to kind of claim the honours now, yeah.
Yeah, it's not too bad when you can win a trainer's championship by accident, Gary. It just looks like what Willie Mullins is about to do. He's as short as 1-5, as Kian said. He's a general kind of 3-10, 2-7 in places. Do you think it's bad for racing? Good for racing?
I don't think it's bad now. Like, realistically, he could win it. Could have won well before now if he just chose it. This is, it just sort of falls into his lap when he's in with a chance for it. I think he does win it. Like, realistically, what does 5 races are going to settle it? And he's going to have contenders in the ball, and the two fat lads are a bit thin on the ground with ammunition for it. So, yeah, he's going to be very hard beat. And like he's sending what El Fabiolo up the sand down. He's saying he's going to send Gaelic Warrior over. He won't send it to them. That's just nonsense. But it looks like he means business with his entry. So once he plans to go ahead with it and force some decent ammunition, yeah, he's going to be very tough to beat.
Yeah, hard to disagree with any of that. I think the last time was 2015 or 16, and on this equivalent weekend that year, I think he sent over something like 5 horses, whereas this year he's sending something in the range of 18. So as someone said on Twitter earlier, he certainly won't be left wondering come the end of the weekend whether he left it all out there or not. With that, we're as well actually start to talk about the racing that he's sending all these runners over to, and it's the 1:15 of there we're going to kick off with. It's the Scotty Brand Handicap Chase over 2 miles. And the story of the weekend here is Willie Mullins does indeed have a runner in the shape of Uncle Phil. At this stage, though, he's not the favourite. Sam Brute heads the market here at 11-4, bidding to back up his entry victory and pay back the deficit for his trainer, Paul Nicholls. Dermot, how did you see this race going?
It's a bit of an early start there, right? Sorry for that. Really interesting renewal. I didn't really have a say here. Sans Brewitt was absolutely outstanding at Aintree. Really, really good under an excellent Briony Frost ride. And I thought Uncle Phil is interesting, but I don't know how good he actually is. This was a race, Darren, that I was quite happy to leave. As much as I was impressed with Persian Time last time, this was a race that I was just happy to leave this time. And hopefully... it's a nice little clash between the top two, but not one that I'd be getting stuck into there.
Yeah, very valid. Sam Brew is about a 5-2 shot with our sponsors, BetMGM. He's shorter in places, a little bit bigger in places. Uncle Phil is biggest 4-1, Gary Connolly. Any interest to you?
Yeah, look, I'm surprised Sans Brew's rocking up here. Roddy won well at Aintree. Like, a run like that's going to take a lie, oh yeah. Did look, you've done it well from the front, but front runners like that, they are hard on themselves, and I think it was a lot harder race than it looked for him. So I'm going to side with Uncle Phil to kick off the Willie Mullins Championship title running. Good and proven young horse, jumps very well. I was taken by his winning the Danmore Fairy House on probably ground that was a bit softer than he wanted. This track should play to his strengths. I think he's on the up, and yeah, I think he'll be hard to beat here.
Uncle Phil will be hard to beat for Gary Connolly. Kian Kirby, do you see it going the same way?
Uncle Phil is obviously very interesting, but I'm not sure if he's much higher than a 150 horse. I mean, I don't think he has much in hand with the handicapper. I think that read the lads, yes, Sam Brew has a very quick turnaround after Aintree. Do want to be taking a chance at a bigger price is Trapping Low. Three ones runs this season, two wins in heavy ground. His other run was on good ground. He needs softer ground. I think that's the key to him. Very impressive win over course and distance last time out. I think he has a big part to play in the race at around 5-1.
Yeah, I think I'm inclined to agree with you. He's got the very useful Patrick Wadge in the saddle as well. I think he's been a big help. It's been a real coming of age season for him this year. So might be a bit of a stop-start or a delayed start for the three lads going for the Trainers' Championship. We'll move on now to the 150. It's the Air Novices Champion Handicap Chase. And Montgomery heads them out here at 4-1. Venetia Williams didn't secure a four-timer. And we've got Mufasa, Sharjah, and Hitchin Jackings in here for teams Nicholas Mullins and Skelton, respectively. Kian, I'm going to come to you first. This is a tricky enough affair, I thought.
Yeah, very tricky. I thought Montgomery was laboured enough now the last time when he beat Ballycama. So I think he'd like, looking down through at Sharjah, I know Willie sent him over, but it's hard to fancy him. I'll actually take one. I think he's nearly the rag of the race, is Young Buster for Fergal O'Brien. He was on fire this season. Two wins on soft and heavy ground that won before that as well. Disappointed at Doncaster last time out, but I think if you put a line through that run again, that was on better ground. I think he needs softer ground. If you put a line through that run, he'd be half the price. He's 20-1. I think it's a wide open race, and you'd do a lot worse than taking a chance at something at a big each way price here.
Young Buster for Kian Kirby. People argue named after himself. He's a 14th run with our sponsors, BetMGM, as big as 20s in the place. Dermot, I'm going to come to you for this race. What were your thoughts initially?
I quite actually liked Young Buster as well. I thought I was being clever here, Darren, but obviously Kian has taken every bit of the words right out of my mouth there. So I'll be following Kian Kirby in there on Young Buster, who I thought was a far too big a price for a yard that are starting to find these handicap hurdle winners with aplomb over the last few days at Aintree and Cheltenham Festival as well.
Yeah, for sure. They were probably a little bit unfortunate maybe at Cheltenham and again at Aintree, but with the shackles of Paddy Brennan now thrown off, the yard is probably ready to prosper. Gary Connolly, I'm going to come to you last of all. What were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I like Deeper Blue here. He's a tricky race. He just looked like a bit of value to me. Hit the crossbar the last twice. He was very disappointing tail end of last year at Doncaster, but much improved effort. He chased home Henry's Friend at Hereford in January. Came out and franked the form since by winning a few times, and then he ran well again next time out at Newbury. Jumping sometimes lets him down a bit, but if he can put it all together, he should be banned there. He looks a bit of a jumping problems aside, I think he got well there.
Very good. Deeper Blue then for Gary Connolly. Two votes for Young Buster. I honestly couldn't come down on one in this. I thought it was extremely tricky, very open. Sharjah's price is starting to contract. if he was a double-digit price, I might be half interested in taking a flyer on him, particularly if the ground continues to dry out up in there, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen. Either, we will move on now to the 225. It's probably the highlight of the day, or the second, sorry, the Grand National being the highlight of the day. This will be the undercard. It's the Scottish Champion Hurdle over 2 miles, and Lead de Sud looks to right the wrongs of his county hurdle defeat to Absurd here, or from Absurd, I should say, at odds of 3-1. Bialystock in at 7-1 for William Patrick Mullins, and Rubo is flying the flag for Paul Nicholls at 12s. Is the top weight overpriced here, Gary Connolly?
Yeah, I think so. I'm siding with Favour and Fortune here, so the championship chasers won't be in the winners enclosure. I don't think I really look at form. It's been well franked in the last couple of weeks. He's second to Django Bay in the Tallworth, and then sixth in the Supreme, where he probably ran better than the finish position suggested there. Opening handicap mark 138 looks fair enough to me. Plenty of room from that, I would say. So I think he's the one outside here.
Alan King to get a winner in his home country for Gary Connolly. Dermot, come to you next. The Scottish Champion Hurdle, what way did you fall?
Yeah, probably one of my biggest bets of the weekend. Darren, Favour and Fortune, I thought, is a big old price considering he was running off level weights with Lord of Sud. The form at Django Boy was completely backed up at the AG Festival. Django Boy was given a not brilliant ride by Nico de Bonville, should have won that handicap hurdle. And then Favour and Fortune, then next time was behind Fun, another decent bit of form. She's a good horse in her day. She's just a bit of a nutcase. And then Favourite Fortune actually ran a blinder in a very good Supreme, travelled quite well coming into the last, and finishes only 9 and a bit lengths behind what is going to be a really, really strong race. An awful lot of these are bringing handicap form into this. He's bringing full on grade 1 novice form in here, and off 11-2, 6-1 or so, he's a whopping bet there. Really, really good bet.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Key and Kirby will round out with you. The Scottish Champion Hurdle, did you have a selection for us?
Yeah, it's 4 votes for Favour and Fortune. I've been a massive fan of his horse all season. When he was thought good enough to run in the Champion Bumper last year, and Renner credit to be fair. He's been very solid over hurdles, as the lad said there, second to Django Bay. That form was framed. I thought he actually could have beaten Fun that day. I did back him each way in the Supreme. I thought he ran a great race. They could just tighten up his jumping a bit. He's a bit sloppy at his obstacles. I think if he jumps well, he'd win this. And I'd say he'd make an even better chaser next year. But I think off 138, he is well handicapped. I think he could develop into a 150 horse in the next year.
4 votes to Favour and Fortune. You won't get a stronger recommendation than that from this podcast. We're going to move quickly on to the 3 o'clock at air. It's the Jordan Electrics Seafield Trophy Mayor's Handicap Hurdle over 3 miles. And, you know, you might expect Willie Mullins to control the market here, given his prevalence in the Mayor's division in recent years. And indeed, 3-1 favourite Penny 100 is one of 3 representatives for Circle Sutton, along with stablemates Salaby and Pink in the Park. Dermot, I'm going to come to you. Is this going to be a William Mullins benefit to kick us off?
Yeah, Penny Hunter was a horse that Stephen Cass was very big on coming into even the Mayor's Hurdle, put her up at huge odds. She's ran in much, much better races than this, Darren, and at these odds, I'd be very keen on a Penny Hunter for sure here.
Penny 100 then for Dermot O'Donnell in the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle. Cian, I'll come to you next of all. Do you have a selection for us?
No, I wouldn't have a strong opinion in this race at all. I'll sit this one out, Darren.
Yeah, no problems. That's a very valid response. I found it tricky as well, I must say. Gary, one of the Mayor's Hurdle, please.
Yeah, so looking at this race last night, and I couldn't believe the price on a Penny 100. Like, very solid form in the book, chasing homage of Tara, J.P. Garugi, a couple of times. Like, she meets none of that calibre here. Pedigree laden with stamina. So 3 miles, you'd imagine she'd love it. I just checked in there and I see the price of a nail, which is plenty skinny. But when you're in the game a couple of years, you build up some contacts. So I contacted a few lads in the trading rooms around the UK and Ireland, and God, what's going on here? And just the same message came back: get what you want on, get more on. So the money is truly down for her, forming the book. Yeah, wins easy. Well, I'm not going to say.
very, very strong message there from Gary Connolly and his little Rolodex full of contacts. I didn't think your Rolodex of contacts extended as far as trading rooms. I thought it might be a little bit more nefarious than that, but it's good to know that you are well connected in the industry. I'm going to stick with you for the Grand National, easily probably the most important race of the day in deciding the eventual winner of the Trainers' Championship. Willie Mullins is looking to take down his second National of the year, following victory at Aintree last weekend. McDermott and Mr. Incredible hit the mark at 11-2 and 6-1. Do either of them tickle your fancy, or were you looking elsewhere?
Yeah, like I think if I need to, if Skelton and Nichols have any hope in the Trainers' Championship, they need to win here. I don't think they will. Gate Maker, I think, is very solid for Jamie Snowden. Last time out, Chelham chased home the Blotter Festival in Ottawa, I think, and the Kim Muir, who's came out frank to form an entry in a grade one. Like, he was beat 8 lengths, but he pulled miles clear to the tour. I think it was 15, 20 lengths back to the tour. So just the term running into one, he just ran into one there. I think all set up for a good run here, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes off fast. So strong on Gate Maker here.
I put it to you, Keane Kirby, that if Gitmaker was trained by Willie Mullins or Paul Nicholls, he'd be a 7-2 shot in this race. Thoughts?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly, I suppose you could make that case. Would you back him at 7-2 then? That's the thing.
No, I wouldn't.
Look, wide open race. A horse I've always been a big fan of is Mr. Vango. I tipped him up on the podcast pre-Cheltenham for the 4 mile at 50-1 each way. He got third, previously won the Devon National by 60 lengths. He's an absolute machine in these staying trips and better ground, or sorry, softer ground. He won't have to deal with the likes of Embassy Gardens and the winner of the 4 miler, whose name has gone for me at the moment. But yeah, I just think at 20-1, I think he could outrun his ass. You have to be up here with the pace, and you have to have a good jumper. And I think he ticks both those boxes, and 20-1, I think he's cracking each way. But
one of the big price there for Keane Kirby, he's looking away from the head at the market. And Dermo, last but certainly not least, a selection or two from the Scottish Grand National.
McDermott, first of all, he blew me away, Darren, at Fairhouse. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. That was a very good race, and he beat a good horse there a better times ahead, and he poked him out of the way. The one thing is that I always like with any Grand National for it to have been their overall aim and target for the season, and I'm definitely not sure him or Mr. Incredible. I think they've kind of found their way here. Mr. Incredible's very good horse, but again, Midlands National onto an Aintree National, where I know he didn't go far, but he's a real wrong-un of a horse as well. He's refused to race before in the past, and he showed a bit of that last time. He dwelt at the start, and Brian Hayes had a nightmare there afterwards. I like Mr. Vango as well. I definitely copying Keane's notes. I like what he did last time. I thought it was a very, very decent performance. In third, Corbett's Crosser, he's a Gold Cup style horse, so to even give him a bit of a race, which he did, so at 20-1. And the one I like here at 100-1, Darren, just who could run into a place, is the ex Gordon Elliott horse Punitive, who's now with Peter Bowen. He's won some very decent races up in the past, lost his way, but a new yard could get him back going again. And with William Maggs's £7 claim, he's effectively running here off 125. Now, I know he'll be out of the handicap a little bit there on that, but off 125, claiming £7, I think that's a serious, serious mark for him. And he's a type of horse that could just, he looked a bit reinvigorated last time. He'll keep going. He has shown his propensity for serious trips like this before. And of 125, 100-1 is just too big of a Punitive. But Mr. Vango from the front, he'd be one that I'd be quite interested in here, Darren. As my main bet, but Punitive definitely at 100-1 is worth a bet anyway.
Two there, decent prices for Dermo Nolan, obviously following Keane Kirby and on the Mr. Vango train. Dermo, I am going to stick with you for anything else from the coming weekend and your nap as well, please.
Yeah, so it's a serious weekend, but mostly at Ayr or the flat, Darren. So I don't actually have anything else. Kind of went through the Tremor card on Friday, and there wasn't a whole lot there to get stuck into. But the one that I do like definitely is Favour and Fortune, the Scottish Champion Hurdle, Darren. I think he's an All-Ireland price.
Yeah, Favour and Fortune for Dermo Nolan is nap at the weekend. Sure to be popular. but with the punters and obviously amongst this panel as well. Cian, I'll come to you. Anything else from the weekend or your, and also, sorry, your net, please.
Yeah, I'll just touch on a couple of horses that are running tomorrow, actually. In the 3:55 at Ayr, I thought Salamanca Bay, he's got up 10 pounds, but he absolutely hacked up over course and distance last time out. A reproduction of that form would definitely see him go close again.
He was trained by the Fogartys, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, you're right.
Is that Salamanca Bay?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Fogarty used to ride him. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Then Limerick tomorrow, the 6:50. I think Favori de Chamdu has been crying out to go back to a right-handed track. It'll probably be a straight match between him and Joyeux Machan. Favori de Chamdu has already run over course and distance. I think he'll go in again. And then on Friday, the 7:30 at Exeter, it's a bumper, and Nicky Henderson runs a really smart one called Kingston Pride. He was just beaten last time out behind, let's get the name of the horse again, Tripoli Flyer, who was actually beaten in the champion bumper at Aintree and looked the winner the whole way around. He could be a very smart prospect. And then just two horses to touch on at Bangor, the 105 Grand Albert, won well last time out, very progressive horse. And also in the 4:00, Galungung, another Donald McCain horse. He looks very well handicapped and he's a very unexposed horse. Gets off 111. It's his first go off handicaps. I think he'd run well at big price, hopefully.
Getting our money's worth there from Cian Kirby. And your nap, Cian, sorry, just if you didn't say it.
I will go with Mr. Van Gogh in the Scottish Grand National.
Mr. Van Gogh for Cian Kirby as his nap of the weekend. And last but certainly not least, Gary, anything else the weekend and then your nap, please and thank you.
Okay, weekend, Saturday at Ayr, just one that I liked. I think Quetta Bourbon will win the 4:45 toward in a usually decent Martin Pipe. It looked good for Neil this year again. And then in the bumper on the 5:20, I like the look of Reflection of You. Price will probably be made by the Willie Mullen assessed the chance in the race. Lucinda Russell, I like this as win first time out where he gave a beaten and experience to a prior winner. So I think that will do for me. And then just a couple of others over the weekend. Only a matter of time. He's entered tomorrow in Ballinrobe and Tremor Sunday. Absolute lunatic of a horse. But freshen up since running out of the field, the Betfair Hurdle. And I think he's a lot better than his mark. So he'll go in either wherever he turns up. And then just on the flat, one that caught me eye was McScally Road. McScally Rose even snapped up by Kevin Blake, and now on the care of the baby Joseph goes at the Curragh on Saturday 2:45. So if she lines up and the handbrake's off, just watch the market here. If there's any money for her, I think she'll improve a ton for the change of scenery. So one to keep an eye out on Saturday.
Very good, thank you, Gary. And your net of the entire weekend, please.
Penny a hundred, just win, baby.
Perfect. That's brilliant, lads. My own nap of the weekend, for what it's worth, is probably Gitmaker in the Scottish Grand National. I cannot get over the price of this horse. Getting only a pound for, admittedly, a thumping by, I know the way you're thinking, but, was still a clear enough second. I think he's very well treated here off 1:33 if he's able to bounce back from his exertions at the Cheltenham Festival. But in any case, with that, that is the end of this week's podcast. I think we're back for one more next week, Dermot, before Punchestown.
We are back for the Punchestown Festival. The Monday week, we're back, yeah.
Monday week, the Punchestown Festival, we're back. So keep your eye out for that. But in the meantime, thank you very much to our sponsors, Bet UK. And this has been the Race Hour podcast. Bet responsibly, and we'll chat to you soon.